Let's begin on Samach Zayin and Beis, a few lines from the very bottom of the page. The Gemara is detailing halachos about tzedakah. Reb Abba, havatzir zuzi besudre, v'shadi leila achore. Reb Abba wanted to give tzedakah, but to do it in a very sensitive way, in a way that wouldn't embarrass the recipient. So he would tie coins in a bundle and sling it over his back. And as he would walk, poor people would come by and take the money out of that bundle, out of the knapsack. He didn't even know who was taking it. And therefore, the poor person was not embarrassed when he had to take the tzedakah. And he would make himself available with these coins slung behind his back in the places of the poor. But he was still worried that there might be deceptive, dishonest people who would come and take it didn't deserve. So he would shoot his eyes back, he would look back harshly to save himself, Neiramai, from those who are deceptive. He wasn't really looking to see who was taking, but he was always turning his head backwards that those who are deceptive would be scared from coming to take. And then those would come and take who were really honest. He wouldn't look to see who it was who was taking. Rabbi Chanina havahu anya to have a regular shdur le'arba zuzi komal le'shabsa. Rabbi Chanina had a poor person in his town that he used to send him 4 zuz every Friday. Yom chada, one day, shadrinu nilei biyad bisu, he sent these 4 zuz in the hands of his wife. Asoy amrele, she returned and came back and told Rabbi Chanina, lo tzarech, this person doesn't need to get charity. So he said to her, Maichas, what did you see about him that makes you say he doesn't need our charity? And she answered, Shami, I overheard. Tavakamili, they were telling him, Bame'ata soe, what would you like to eat your meal on? Betali kesef or betali zav, with a tablecloth of silver, namely a tablecloth, according to some it means it had silver woven into it, according to others, according to Rashi, it's a tablecloth of white linen, which doesn't absorb any color, so it looked silver, looked white, or a tablecloth of gold, namely of silk, and according to others, a tablecloth with gold streaks in it. So he said, Reb Chanina said, all right, Amar Hayinu da Amar Reb Elazar, this is what Reb Elazar taught us. Let's be grateful to the deceptive people who take charity, really don't deserve it, who aren't really poor. Because if everybody who is asking for charity really would deserve it, we would be sinning every day because we don't always give charity to everyone who asks. So now that there are people who are deceptive, so at least we can say, okay, we thought this guy was deceptive. Here's an example, a guy who's deceptive. But if everyone who would ask and accept would only be honest, so then all those who ask and we don't give them, it would be a very grave sin for the fact we didn't give them. And we know from the Torah that it's a very grave sin not to give charity. Shnem, as the Torah says, V'kara alecha l'Hashem, he's going to call out to you, to God, V'haya b'chachet, and when you don't give the poor, and he calls out to God, there will be in you a sin. Tani Reb Chiya bar Rav Medivti, and Reb Chiya the son of Rav Medivti taught that Reb Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Reb Yeshua ben Karcha taught, Kalam Ma'alim Einav Minat Tzedakah, anyone who ignores the opportunity to give tzedakah, who raises his eyes away from giving tzedakah, Kilu Ovid Avodas Kochavim, it's as if he's worshipping idols. Ksevach, it says in this pasuk, Yisham Alecha Penia Davarim Levavcha Bliyal, when it says over there in regards to idol worship, in regards to Anirani Dachas, Yatsu Anashim B'nei Bliyal. Here it says there will be a matter in your heart that is a Bliyal matter, a netherworld matter, a matter that doesn't have any ascent, can't rise at all. And it says in Anirani Dachas, people who are sons of Bliyal, who don't have any ascent, will go out and do a sin and convince a city to worship idols. Malahal and Avodas Kochavim, just like in Irani Dachas, is a place where they're worshiping idols. Afkan Avodas Kochavim, so to someone who doesn't give tzedakah, who ignores the impoverished person begging for help, it's as bad as worshiping idols. In the back of the Masifta Gemaras, there's a whole host of reasons why not giving tzedakah is considered like worshiping idols. One is quoted from the Maharal, who teaches that when a person gives tzedakah, it means that he feels that other Jews are part of him, and their need is my need, and we're all part of one body, and we are part of Am Echad. If a person doesn't give tzedakah, he doesn't feel that that person's need is my need. I don't feel that his need is my need. I feel detached from him. I'm not part of Am Echad. I don't have a relationship to Elohim Echad, to the oneness of God. other explanations that are offered there. The fact that a person doesn't give tzedakah shows that he feels that he needs the money. He doesn't rely on Hashem. He doesn't have emunah in Hashem. Or if he doesn't give tzedakah, he doesn't realize that our the foundation of our religion is that Hashem gives life and Hashem is a Baal Chesed. And we need to be Baal Chesed. If he doesn't feel that he has to emulate Hashem's Chesed by being a Baal Chesed, that means that he's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Tanur Rabbanan, we were taught by our sages in a Braisa. Hamas, a person who's poor, but he decides to make himself look even more desperate in order to get a bigger donation. So he blinds his eye. He pretends to have a blind eye. Hamatzvias bitno, he pretends to have a bloated stomach. Hamakapeach ashoko, he pretends to have a broken leg. Eino neftim in this world. Ad shiyavli dekach, when he will actually be poor, blind, with lame, whatever it is that he showed that he wanted to be. Another halacha, a person who accepts charity and he doesn't need it. He asks for charity when he doesn't need it. He deceives us to give him charity when he doesn't need it. So by the time he leaves this world, he will have to need it. By his end, he won't leave this world till he needs the charity. There's a Mishnah in Peya in regards to matnos aniyim, the gifts to the poor, like leket, the gleanings, the stalks that fall that the poor are allowed to come pick, shikcha, the forgotten bundle, and peya, the corner of the field has to be left to the poor to take. So the halacha is that a poor person is someone who doesn't have 200 zuz, who doesn't have money for a year to provide for himself. What happens if he doesn't have 200 zuz, but he has assets? He has tables, he has beds, he has chairs. Ein mechayven also limkor his beis, so we don't obligate him to sell his house in order to have 200 zuz, or veskle tashmisha, or the utensils with which he uses. We say if he doesn't have 200 zuz cash, he can go take the leket shikha and pay. Ask the Gemara of Elohs, that's so that we don't make a person sell his stuff. For a time we learned in a price. Hayim ishtamish b'klei zav, a fellow who used to use golden utensils, let him sell his gold. And ishtamish b'klei kesef, use the silver utensils. B'klei kesef, if he had silver utensils, let him sell it. And ishtamish b'klei nechoshes, and use the copper utensils. So we see we do make a person sell his stuff in order not to be a burden on the community. Amar Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid answer, lo kash, it's not a contradiction between these two sources, the Brice and the Mishnah. Habamita v'shulchan, the Brice is referring to a table and a bed that let him sell. The Mishnah is referring to kosos uka'aros, cups and bowls. If he were to sell his cups and bowls, it'll be uncomfortable for him, so that we don't obligate him to sell. The Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. Maishna kosos uka'aros delo, why are you telling me the cups and bowls he doesn't have to sell? So, because he can tell us me easily, it's disgusting for me to use a cup and a bowl that I'm not used to using it. I want to use my old cup and bowl, so you can't make me sell it. Well, if so, mita v'shulchan ami, if he has a golden bed or if he has a golden table, he should also be able to say, I don't want to sell my golden bowl and my bed and table, because the new one I'm not going to be willing to accept. It's not going to be acceptable on me. It's going to upset me not having my old stuff. So Amar Rava Breda Rabba. So Rava, the son of Rabba, said the Braisa that says he sells stuff is referring to Machresha de Kaspa, a fellow who has a rake of silver that he uses to clean out the bathhouse. So what does he care if he has a rake of silver or a rake of copper that he has to sell before he comes and asks the community for help? Rav Papa said a different answer to this contradiction. Again, our Mishnah says he doesn't have to sell his stuff, and whereas the Braisa says he does have to sell his stuff. Lo kash, there's no contradiction. Kan kodem shevli de gibui. The Mishnah is talking about a guy who doesn't have 200 zuz cash. Since he doesn't have 200 zuz cash, the Mishnah says he can go collect the matnos aniyim, the gifts to the poor, the gleanings, the forgotten bundles, and the corner of the field. And if he goes and he collects, we're not going to go take it from him. However, the Braisa that says we make him sell his gold and tell him use your silver, or we make him sell his silver and we tell him use your copper, it's talking about an entirely different case. A fellow who had more than 200 zuz. He wasn't entitled to leket shikha and peya. But even though he wasn't entitled to leket shikha and peya, he went and he collected leket shikha and peya. So now that he collected the leket shikha and peya, he really should pay it back, but he ate it already. So we come to him, we say, hey, you need to pay back the leket shikha and pay. He says, I already ate it, I don't have any money left. So now we tell him, okay, sell your gold to pay and use silver in order to pay the leket shikha peya that you took. And the chiddush is, even though leket shikha and peya is mamon she'in lo tovim, here we would insist that he does it to fine him for having taken that which he wasn't entitled to take. The next Mishnah returns us to the issues of Ksubos. Again, our Masechta is the Masechta of Ksubos, learning all about this safety net and the document that a husband has to give his wife. So what happens if a man died and now his daughter is being supported by his estate, as we've learned, that's it's Naik Suba, that the daughter should get mizono, she should get her food from the estate. But it's time now for her to get married. There's no Tznaik Suba that there has to be a dowry for her when she gets married, but it is simple logic that it would be mistaber, it makes sense that she should be entitled to a dowry. How much money from his estate can we take to give her as a dowry? Says the Mishnah, Yesoma Shehesi Asa Ima, an orphan girl who was married off as a ktana by her mother, O Achiha, or by her brother, as we learned in Maseches Yevamos. Mida Oraisa, minor, can be married off by her father. Mida Rabbanan, Chazal instituted that a minor can be married off by her mother and brother, and that's a rabbinic marriage. Again, she can leave it through miyun, but there is such a rabbinic marriage. So even though she's willful, Midaita, she willingly accepted the marriage, if they wrote in the Ksuba, a minimal dowry, kasfu labim meo b'chamishim zuz, they wrote 150 zuz as her dowry. That's not the dowry, and therefore she's entitled to a greater dowry. And we don't say, oh, she was mochel, because she accepted this dowry willingly. She was mochel as a minor, and mechilas ktana, the mechila, the forgiving of a minor is not a forgiving. And therefore, yecholi misha tagdil, she's able once she gets older, lahotzi miyadan, masha roi lihina seinla, to go back to her mother and brother and get from their hands what she deserves. And what does she deserve? According to Rashi, the view of the Chacham in the Mishnah is she deserves 10%. 10% of his assets, what's called in the Sugya, Isur Nechasim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a orphan is not entitled to 10% of her father's assets, but rather the following. We assess the nature of the father. Is he a generous guy or not a generous guy? If the father married off an earlier daughter and he gave a lot, we give this girl that which had been given to the earlier daughter. We assess him. Chacham say, no. Maybe at the time when he gave to the earlier daughter, he was poor and now he's become wealthier. By the time he died. Oh, Asher, maybe he was rich then, Vahani, and he's poor now when he died. Ella, therefore, Shaman as Anachasim. We don't evaluate him, but we evaluate his financial class. We look at how much money he had, we add it up, and then we say, okay, he's either in the category of poor people or the category of rich people. And based on those categories, Nosnun La, we give her a Parnasa, we give her a Nedunya. We give her a dowry. According to Rashi, again, our Mishnah is teaching three opinions. A man died. He left a daughter. So we assume he would want to give his daughter money to be a dowry, to accompany her. According to the Chachamim, that assumption means that he would have wanted to give her 10% of the assets that he left. And therefore, even if she was married off as a ketana, and she said, I'm willing to be married off for 100 zuz as a dowry or 50 zuz as a dowry. When she gets older, she can come back and get the 10%. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not an assumption necessarily of 10%. It depends on the person. We have to assess him. Is he a generous guy or is he a stingy guy? And to do that, we look at what he did to his first daughter. If he gave to his first daughter a lot, we'll give now to the second daughter also a lot. Chachamim say, you can't look at what he used to do. Maybe he changed. Maybe then he was rich and now he's poor when he dies. So rather we look at the amount of money he has. And based on the amount of money he left, he's either a poor man or a rich man. A rich man would give a larger dowry. A poor man would give a smaller dowry. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught. Liparnasa, in regards to dowry, Shaman Ba'av, we assess this father. Is he a generous guy and would give a large dowry? Or is he a stingy guy and only give a small dowry? That's what Shmuel said. Apparently that's what he's saying is the halacha. So the Gemara now tries to put Shmuel into the views of the Tanaim. Meisveil challenge you. We learned in a brisa, Habanos, the daughters, Nizonos, which seems to mean they get food, Umis Parnasos, and they get livelihood. Well, food is livelihood, so must be Mis Parnasos means a dowry. And they get a dowry, Minichse, Avihen, from the possessions of their father. Ketzad. How do we figure it out? Ain omen, we don't say Yilu Avi Akayam, were your father to be alive, kach v'kach, you know, sin la, this and this was what he would have given her. Ela shaman es anachasim, but we reckon and we value all the money, and based on what it is, that's the class he's in, v'nos talan, we give to her based on that category. So, my lav, presumably this is talking about parnasas habal, and it's saying we don't, parnasas habal meaning the dowry for the husband, and we're not saying we evaluate him based on whether he's generous or stingy. We evaluate his assets to see what class he belongs to. So it's against Shmuel. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, no, this braisa is not referring to dowry at all. Lober parnasas atzma. It's talking about the food for herself. Parnasas atzma. Hanizonas umis parnasas katani. It talks about girls getting mizonos food. And parnasa, once it talked about mizonos, that's already parnasas atzma. My love, doesn't it mean achas parnasas abal? Parnasas is a reference to the dowry to go in with the husband. Viachas parnasas atzma. And mizonos is a reference to her own food. Lo. Maybe not. Maybe both the term nizonos and the term misparnasos refer to money for her own livelihood without getting married yet. One's talking about money for food and drink. The other one's talking about money for clothing and jewelry. And it's saying that that is not assessed based on what the guy was like, but based on the amount of money he had, we put him into a particular category. It's not another problem with Shmuel. We learned in a Mishnah. Chachamim Omrim, the sages disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and they say, Pam Shadam Ani Veheshir. Sometimes there was a person who was poor when his first daughter got married, but now that he died, he was rich by the time he died, and now that his second daughter is getting married after he died, she should be getting a bigger dowry. Oh, Asher, maybe he was rich then, Vehani, and now he is poor. Ella, rather, Shamin Hanachasin, and therefore, we can't just make an assessment based on his character, but rather we evaluate how much money he has, and we give her a percentage of based of what he had, or based on the amount he had, we figure out what the class he's in, and based on that class, we give her a dowry. So my anu, my ashu, what does it mean? Maybe he was poor and now he's rich. He died rich, or he was rich, he died poor. Inema ani, if you're going to say that poor, meaning literally poor, ani ben achasim, poor with lack of possessions. And ashir, rich, meaning he's dying with a lot of possessions. Ashir ben achasim. Michlal, does that imply the Tana Kama Sabbath that the first Tana holds? Afilu ashir vahani, that even if he had been rich, and now he's poor, what he gave to the first daughter, he gives now to the second daughter, kidmei kara yavinallah. Ha lesli, but he doesn't have what to give, he's poor now. Elalav, so what must it mean? Ani is ani bedas. He's poor based on his decision making. He's deciding to be poor, as Rashi says. Ain bedaita litin la nedunya. Nedunya's asher. He doesn't want to give her the dowry that a rich person gives. El nedunya's ani. He wants to give her the poor person's dowry. Asher means asher bedas. That maybe when he died, he wanted to give more. V'katani, what does it say? Shaman es anachasim. Because we don't know. Maybe he changed his giving thinking, how much he wants to give, we evaluate the money, and based on the evaluation of how much money there is, we give him a certain categorization. Vinosalan, we give her based on that categorization. Alma, so apparently lo azlina basarumdana, we don't say, oh, we can figure out his type of thinking to Yuv to Shmuel. So that's a disproof of Shmuel that says that we evaluate the guy, and we look at him and to see whether he's a generous guy or a stingy guy. Answers the Gemara. Huda Amar Krib Yehuda. In our mission, there was a machlokas tanaim. Shmuel's view is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tan Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im hisi basa rishona, if he had married off his first daughter, yinasin lashnia. So now there's a second daughter who's an orphan. Give her kederach shenasin lashnia, the way it was given to the first. That's a reference to an umdina of his das. Vinema, so if that's all Shmuel is saying, why didn't Shmuel say, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda? Answer the Gemara. Yeah, Amar Lach Kibyuda. If you would have said Alachas like Kibyuda, have Amina Davka Hesi. I would have thought only when he married off the first. Then I Gali Daite. Then I really know what he's like and what he would type like to give. Avalohisia. But if he didn't marry off the first, we can't evaluate him based on talking to his co-workers and employees and people who knew him whether he's generous or not. Kamashman. So that's the Chiddush of Shmuel. The time of Rabbi Yehuda. The reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is Dazlina Basar Umdana. We are following the assessment of his das whether he's a generous guy or a non-generous guy. And therefore, Loshna, Hisiyah, Veloshna, Loisiyah, there's no difference whether he married her off or he didn't marry her off. We can assess him. And based on the assessment, that's what we would now give to the daughter. Haidi Katani Hisiyah. So why did the Mishnah only talk about the case where he married off the first daughter? Lo diacha kochod de Rabbanan, to tell you how far the Rabbanan go, the afal gav di Hisiyah. Even though he once married off a daughter and gave her a very generous dowry, the Rabbanan said, well, maybe he changed his mind. The Gali died, even though then he had revealed what he was thinking. The Chacham hold lo as lina basarum, to know we don't follow the assessment of the type of person he is. Amar le Rava, le Rav Chizda. Rava told Rav Chizda, Darshin in Mishmecha, they darshin in your name, Halacha Kribi Yehuda, Halacha Zla Kribi Yehuda, which as we've learned is that we do follow the Umdina, the assessment of the Das of the Father. Amar le, so Rav Chizda said, fantastic. Yehei Rava, may it be God's will that Kol Keani Mili Ma'al Yisatidu Shul Mishmai, all such wonderful Halachas you should say in my name, because I think Halacha is like Rav Yehuda. So that sounds like Rav Chizda holds Halachas like Rav Yehuda, and Rav holds Halachas like Rav Yehuda, because he was asking if Chizda, is it a true thing? And he said yes. Presumably Rava accepted it. So Gemara now asks, so Miyama Rava, how did Rava really think that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? V'otani b'lun den b'raisa Rabbi Yom, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, Basani zonas menachim, if there is an orphan girl who's now getting her food from her brothers who inherited her father's estate, because she's entitled to get food from her father's estate, from the Tnai Ksuba. No, tell us, Isur Nechasim, she takes a tenth of her father's estate for her dowry. So it's not an assessment whether he's generous or not generous. It's always 10% of what he left. V'amar Rava, Rava said, Halacha k'Rebbe, Halacha's like Rebbe. So you see, Rava holds it, it's always 10%. Answers the Gemara, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Hadamitnei. One is the case where we assessed him because we saw what he had given to an earlier daughter. So then the younger daughter gets what he had given to the earlier daughter. Hadlo amidnei. When Rava says Halacha is like Rabbi, that it's always 10%. That's when we didn't get a chance to assess him. So then it's always 10%. Hachanami mistabri. This also makes sense. Tam Rav Adabar, have Rav Adabar, have it taught. Maisa. It was in fact an event once where when Nasan la Rabbi Echad Mishneim Asar Benuchasim, Rabbi himself gave to an orphan girl 1/12 of the possessions of her father as a dowry. So how could he do that? Kashna Adadi, this is the contradiction in Rebbe's opinion. Elolav Shmamina, so what do you see? That was the case where he made an assessment, and based on the assessment, that's what he thought the father would be giving. So that's what he gave. Hadlo Amidne. When did Rebbe say it's always 10%? When there was no assessment. Shmamina, that's a good proof. Gufa, we learned. Amar Rebbe said, Basinizonos Menachim, the view of Rebbe is that a girl who's getting her mezonos from her brothers, from the estate of her father, when she goes to get married, no tell us Isur Nechasim, she can take 10% of the father's estate as the dowry. Amrulo the Rebbe, they said to Rebbe, Lidvarecha, according to your logic, Mishyeshlo Eser Banosubein, if a fellow dies and he leaves 10 daughters and a son, and we know that the Dinto arises that whenever he leaves a son, the son inherits and the daughters don't get anything. But now you're saying that we're making an assessment that he would want to give his daughter a dowry, so he gives each daughter 10%. So if he left 10 daughters and one son, Emel Ben Makam Banos Klum, so that mean that the son gets nothing and the daughters get everything? Amalahan. So he responded, Kachani Omer, this is what I say. Rishona no tell us Isur Nechasim. The first girl gets 10%. So let's say there were 100 coins. The first girl gets 10 coins. Now there are 90 coins left. So Shnia B'masha Shira, the second girl only gets 10% of what's left. Only gets 9. Now there's only 81 left, so the third girl only gets 8.1, and Shlishas B'masha Shira. Then V'chozos, then the 10 girls go together. V'chokos B'shava, they mix together all of their 10%, once the son certainly gets something, and they divide it up amongst themselves, equally each one getting an equal portion. Ask the Gemara, why would each one get an equal portion? Why would they have to mix these percentages together? Each one was getting for herself, for her money, so she should be able to keep her 10%. Answer the Gemara, I mean, this is what he means. If all 10 daughters are coming to get married at once, then the first one gets 10%, and then out of what's left, the next one gets 10%, out of what's left from that, the next one gets 10%. And since they're all getting married at once, they then pool it all together, and each one gets an equal portion. Misayeli, this is a proof. Rav Masna to Rav Masna, Dam Rav Masna, Rav Masna to in Bohlin. I'll say, if all the girls are coming to get married, Kulan Ka'achas, all as one. Notlos Isur Echad. They all take 110%.
What do you mean? Isur Echad Salgadaita, they take 110%?
No, Ela Notlos Isur Ke'echad. They take the 10% as one. Tanu Rabbanu, we were taught by our sages in Ebraisa. Habanos. The young girls. Bein bagru ad shelo nisu. Whether they became bogros, they reached the age of 12 and a half before having had nisuin. Uvein nasu ad shelo bagru. Or if they had nisuin as nairos before they were bogros, ibdu mizono seyem, and they lose the livelihood from the father's estate, because now the naira is married, so her husband provides for her, a bogeris is on her own, she's out of her father's home. But v'lo ibdu parnasasan, but they did not lose the dowry, the isur nechasim, the 10% of the property. Divrei Rebbe, that's the view of Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Elazar says, af ibdu parnasasan, a nairu gets married as mochelas and mechilas and mechila because she's a gdola, she's already 12. And a bogaris is already out of the father's house. She no longer gets a dowry, so she loses the ibur nechasim. So Ketzadei Nehosos, Rebbe Shimon Elazar says, what should the girls do if they see their, you know, let's say the girl is single and she's coming close to the age of Bogrus and she hasn't been married yet and she's worried, I'm going to lose now the 10% of my father's wealth. So Sochus Len Baalim, she should hire for herself a husband, she should pay a guy off to marry her, Umotzin Lehen Parnasasan, and then she can get a dowry for that marriage of 10%. Amar Rav Nachman said, Amar Li Huna, Huna told me, Hilchasa Ki Rebbe, Halachas like Rebbe, Esve Ravler of Nachman, Rav challenge of Nachman. We learned Yisoma Shiyasa Ima, our Mishnah, an orphan who's married off by her mother, O Achia, or her brother, even though it's Midait, even though it's will. The Kasvulan they wrote to her, Bimeya, a dowry of 100 zuz, O Chamishim zuz, Yecholi Mishetagul Hotzmi Yadam Asheroi Li Nasin Lot. When she grows older, she can come back and say, no, I want 10% as my dowry, and she can get it. Taima, what the Mishnah is very careful what it talks about. It talks about the Ketana, talking about a minor gets married. Hagdola, but if it would be a Naira getting married, it sounds like if a Naira gets married and she got a dowry of 100, Vitra, that's it. She gave up and she doesn't get the 10%. You just said, Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that even when she got married as a gedola, lo ibdu parnasas, and she didn't lose her dowry of 10% of the assets of her father. And so the Gemara, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Not a contradiction. Hodemachai, one is where she's protesting. In Rebbe Yehuda's case, in Rebbe's case, she's protesting. She's saying, I know I'm getting married as a naira, but I want the full 10%. So then, she gets the 10%. Then the Mishnah implied that only as a ketana she was not mochel, but as a naira she would be mochel. Hadalom achai, it's talking about a case where she wasn't protesting. She wasn't protesting. Since she wasn't protesting, that means that she is truly being mochel, the 10%, and she's being happy with the 100 or the 15. She's a gedola, she's 12, she's an adult, she can accept that. Hachanami Mistaber, this answer makes sense. Im King, because if you're not going to say this answer, Kasha the Rebbe, other Rebbe, would have a contradiction in Rebbe himself. The Tani went to Braisa. Rebbe Omer Rebbe says, Basa Nizonas Mina Achim, an orphan girl who's getting her livelihood from her brothers, from the estate of her father, no teles Isur Nachasim. She gets 10% as her dowry, sounding like Nizonas in, only if she's getting the livelihood. She ain't Nizonas, if she's not getting the Mizonos, lo, then not. That's against what Rebbe said that a Bogeres, who's not Nizonas, still gets the Parnassus, still gets the dowry. Hello, laughs. What do you have to say? Shmami, no. This is the answer. Hadamachai, when the girl is protesting, she still gets the dowry. Hadalomachai, when she's not protesting, she's being mochel, and she doesn't get the dowry. Shmami, no. Amalei Ravina le Rava. Ravina said to Rava, Amalan Ravada Barahava Mishmecha. Rav Adar Bar Ahava told us in your name, Rava, that Bagra, that if the girl became a Bogeres, Eina Tzricha Limchos, she doesn't need to be protesting to still be entitled to the 10% as the dowry. She's still entitled to the 10% as the dowry. Nises, if she got married as a naira. Also, eina tzricha limchos. She doesn't need to be mochet to still be entitled to the 10% of the dowry. Bagra v'nises, but if after she was a bogeris, then she did the nisuin, then tzricha limchos. She needs to be protesting to still be entitled to the dowry of isur nechasim. Miyama Rava Hachi, did Rava say this? Iva Isra Rava Lar of Nachman. We just learned that Rava challenged of Nachman with our Mishnah of Yesoma. Rishani lay, and he had answered. Hadzamachi, and our Mishnah is talking about where there was no protest. Rebbe was talking where there's a protest. Hadalomachi. And what do you see? That where there's no protest as a naira, she does lose the 10%. Answer the Gemara, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. One is where she's still getting her livelihood from her brothers. If she's still getting her livelihood from her brothers, even without a protest, it's not a mechila. Why didn't she protest? Because she's embarrassed to protest. They're giving her food. It's not a proof of mechila. When we said when there's no protest, that shows that she's mochel. That's when she's not getting her livelihood from her brothers. And even so, she's not protesting the fact that they only wrote 100 and they didn't give her the 10%. That means that she's mochel at 10%. Adalo kamitzanami night. The other case is when she wasn't getting her livelihood from them. Am Ravuna, my Rabbi. Ravuna says the name of Rabbi Parnasa. This dowry, ina kitznai ksuba, is not like the conditions that Chazal instituted into the ksuba of the husband providing his orphaned daughter with food from his estate. My enoch, it's not ksuba. In what way is it not like the conditions of the ksuba? Iname, if you're going to say the ilu parnasa in regards to dowry, tar from mishabdi, she could even go take from lands that her brothers sold since her father's death. It's not ksuba, whereas money for her food when she is a yasoma, which is a condition of the ksuba, lo tar from mishabdi, she can't take that from lands that they sold. My kamash, what's the chiddush? Go into any court and see things every day that motzi and leparnasa, we take money, we take lands away from the kuchos for dowries, vein motzi and lemazonos, but we don't take for food. The elas, the rally means the following, diibu parnasa gavya nami metalpi, in terms of her dowry, she can even get it from movables, utznaik suba, whereas the tznaik suba, in the karkoi gavya, she gets it from the land that her father left. In the talpi lo gavya, she doesn't get it from chattel, from movables. The Rebbe, according to Yudah Nasi, idi v'idi, both parnasa and mezonos, which is now called tznaik suba, migva gavya, she can get from metaltlin. The Tanya is went in a brisa. Echad mechasim sheish lemachrayas, whether it's possessions that you can rely on them because they're land. Echad mechasim shein lemachrayas, possessions that you can't rely on them because they are movables. Motzi and lemazon aisha, we can take them away to give the wife food, the labanos, and to give the daughters food. Divrei Rebbe. Ela mai parnasa ina kitznaik suba. So in what way, according to Yudah Nasi, is the dowry not like the mezonos, which is a tznaik suba? Look at the Tanya for the following brisa. Ha'omer, a fellow who says as he's dying, al yozunu benosa benachasav, don't use my money to give my daughter's food. I don't want them to have food for my money. Ain't shomelo, we don't listen to him. But if he says, al yosparnasu benosa benachasav, I don't want my daughter to have any dowry from the food, from the money that I leave over, since the dowry is not a tznai ksuba, it was not a tzakana, it wasn't instituted by Bezdin. Shomon, we do listen to him. Shapar nasein a kitznai ksuba, because the dowry is not a tznai ksuba. Ad kan daf samaches.